There are things you can't reach, but you can reach out to them. And all day long, the wind, the bird flying away, the idea of God. And it can keep you as busy as anything else, and happier. The snake slides away, the fish jumps, like a little lily, out of the water and back in. The goldfinches sing from the unreachable top of the tree. I look, morning to night, I am never done with looking. Looking, I mean not just standing around, but standing around as though with your arms open and thinking. Maybe something will come, some shining coil of wind, or a few leaves from any old tree. They are all in this too. And now I will tell you the truth. Everything in the world comes, at least, closer. And cordially, like the nibbling tinsel-eyed fish, the unlooping snake, like goldfinches, little dolls of gold fluttering around the corner of the sky of God, the blue air.
Stand, open up your heart and find Amen. I am so grateful for our music team and for all of the creative people and artists who help to share in worship from our homes to your homes. My name is Matt Smith, and along with Linda Duhirsu, I serve as one of the co-pastors, and we want to welcome you to online worship here with the table for March the 7th. We are so grateful to be in this together with you all while physically apart, watching over one another in love by sharing in worship together from our homes to wherever you happen to be tuning in this moment. We long here at the table to be a community of faith which celebrates and then lives out and lives in response to God's unconditional love for all. And here at the table, we believe that for God, all truly does mean all. We are finding our way along with the Christian community throughout the world through what we call in the Christian church the season of Lent. This is a 40-day journey toward the hope and the power and the mystery of resurrection on Easter. And during this season here at the table, we are holding the readings assigned to the global Christian church in conversation with the poetry of Mary Oliver. We have a Lenten devotional resource that's available for download on our website, and we'd love for you to consider taking a next step here in our life together at the table. We'd invite you to simply text the word new to the number that's appearing there on your screen. When you're ready to meet others, to learn a little bit more about how we share in life together here at the table, we would invite you to sign up on our website for a six-week series Pastor Linda and I teach together, which is called Growing in Faith. We currently have two Growing in Faith groups going right now, and we'll begin a new Growing in Faith series on Tuesday evening, April the 13th. We'd also like to share that during Holy Week, on Palm Sunday specifically, we are hoping to meet with folks in intimate gatherings, those that you might be sheltering in place with, sheltering in love with. If you are interested in celebrating baptism, Pastor Linda and I would love to talk more with you. We're hoping that on Palm Sunday, which is the Sunday right before Easter, we would be able to connect with you and a small group of folks that have loved you. And maybe this is for you or for a child that you'd like to talk more about the possibility of baptism. We would meet you along the American River and celebrate that together and then share in that in an online experience as well. So if you'd like to just talk a little bit more, it doesn't commit you to anything, but if you want to just ask some questions to wonder alongside us about what baptism has meant for us and what it might mean for you, Pastor Linda and I would love to talk more about that. And you'll find a link there on our website. We're going to continue to move in worship now with a song that invites us to reflect, especially in pandemic, almost a year in. We're coming up on 1 week away from 1 year from when the last time we were in the sanctuary together. We can realize how hard change can actually be. Sometimes change is thrust upon us, and then we settle into some new normals, and change can be really hard to move into. And so this song is inviting us deeper into the possibilities of how God might be calling us to change. This song is called I Can Change, and this is our music team's version. So let us continue to move now and worship together.
I won't let it rule my heart tonight. I can change. I can still change. but fear won't rule my heart tonight. I can change, I can change, I can still change, I can still change. I can change, I can change, I can still change, I can still change.
The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy the temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and will you raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. When he was in Jerusalem during the Passover festival, many believed in his name because they saw the signs that he was doing. But Jesus, on his part, would not entrust himself to them because he knew all people and needed no one to testify about anyone, for he himself knew what was in everyone.
Some of them were fools who were making plans. keep our spirits high. Let the buildings keep our children dry. Let creation reveal its secrets by and by. By and by. It's lost within us, reaches the sky. Some of them were angry at the way the earth was abused by the men who learned how to forge her beauty into power. And they struggled to protect her from only to be confused by the magnitude of her fury in the final hour. When the sand was gone and the time arrived, in the naked dawn only a few survived in attempts to understand things so simple and so huge. Keep our spirits high, and let the buildings keep our children dry. Let creation reveal its secrets by and by. By and by. When the light has lost
the sky. Jackson Brown wrote the ballad that was also a prophecy before the deluge in 1974 when he was just 24 years old. In it, he tells the story of the ideals, the illusions, and the fall from grace of what we know now as the baby boomer generation. I find it at once both forgiving and tender, hopeful and sad, as we live through this season now of racial reckoning, pandemic, and climate change. Maybe you did too. As one reviewer wrote of the song, I wish he had gotten it wrong back then. He didn't. In 2006, Mary Oliver didn't get it wrong either in her poem that is titled as a question, but reads more like an invitation. Where does the temple begin? Where does it end? The opening lines go like this. There are things you can't reach, but you can reach out to them and all day long. The wind, the bird flying away, the idea of God. And it can keep you as busy as anything else and happier. I don't believe Jesus got it wrong either. In this vivid scene in the Gospel of John, we just heard read. On the surface, seen as a disturbance, it was really an announcement of so much more to come. It's going to take us some work to understand what was unfolding in that. So let me set the scene for all of us. For the next 2 weeks, we are leaving the Gospel of Mark and we are in the Gospel of John. The promised presence of God was critical for the community to which John was writing. His audience was a Jewish group who had been thrown out of their community for their belief in Jesus. They were still Jewish, but they believed also in Jesus as the Messiah. So remember that an essential function of the Gospel of John is to sustain that community in their faith. The Passover is near, which is the Jewish festival of deliverance from enslavement and deliverance into the intimate obedience to God that is represented by the Ten Commandments, or the Ten Best Ways, as our children learn in Godly Play. The Gospel of John is organized around six miraculous signs, some of them: changing water into wine, feeding the 5,000, walking on water, raising Lazarus, just to name a few. Jesus performs these signs over the course of his public ministry in the Gospel of John. Jesus' first sign at the wedding at Cana had just happened, okay? Though only his disciples, his mother, and a few servants are aware of it. And in this scene that we heard read, Jesus is going public in a big way with a bold, provocative drama which unfolds in the most prestigious Jewish space of all, the temple in Jerusalem, at the most prestigious Jewish time of all, the days just before Passover. Jesus, along with the many, is a pilgrim to the communal celebration of Passover in Jerusalem at the temple. That is where Jesus found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and saw the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take those things out of here. Stop making my Abba's house a marketplace." To be clear, in order for the temple system to survive, the ordered transactions of a marketplace were absolutely essential. The people had to function, right, in the temple, and the temple had to function as a place of exchange for maintaining and supporting the sacrificial structures required for preserving a relationship with God. In John, Jesus is not quibbling about malfeasance or mismanagement, as is recorded in the other Gospels' version of this story. But instead, he, Jesus, is calling for a complete dismantling of the entire system. It is this drama in the temple which invites the hearers of John's gospel then, as well as all of us today, to, as the Reverend Mihi Kim Kort writes, wonder about the meaning of Jesus as both the Son of Humanity, with what all his sads, glads, and mads, and the Son of God, who both inspires celebration and instigates confrontation. Jesus is turning over tables, and he is tearing down walls, but not because he's having a bad day. He's turning over tables, tearing down walls in his attempt to build up the bridges between us all. I'm pretty sure that those gathered in the moment thought he had gotten it very wrong. In the temple, Jesus finds what any pilgrim would expect to find during a Passover festival. It was a place bustling with normal religious and economic activity. Merchants are moving among like their animal stalls. Money changers are busily exchanging coins. The denarii into half shekels, by the way, so the pilgrims could pay the temple tax. That's all I'm going to say about that. And then they would go with those coins and shop also the animal stalls and the cages. They were bartering with the tradespeople as they sought out priests to complete their sacrificial rituals for purity from daily life so that they could participate fully at the time of the Feast of Passover. It's kind of like nothing here to really see religious life as totally normal. Although different than the scene in John 2 holds when in it the flavor of Christian preparation for Easter Sunday, I think. I'm thinking pre-pandemic Easter, by the way. Believers gathered in a holy place, the Rose Garden maybe, remembering and celebrating God's mysterious and wondrous resurrection as we seek to honor God through rituals and repentance. And it is also true that before that can happen, you have to make sure the eggs are dyed and hidden, the special clothes are clean and ironed, and maybe most importantly, brunch reservations have been confirmed. It's also beautiful, though. But instead of praising their faithfulness, Jesus pitches a fit and then announces that he is there to take down the entire structure, which is why I think they clap back. First, it is the disciples who are trying to make sense of what is unfolding in front of them. They recall their sacred text. It's in Psalm 69:9 to explain Jesus's dramatic presence in the space. Zeal for your house will consume me is the prophecy of Zechariah you'll find there. Jesus, well, he's acting pretty zealous. Then the Jewish pilgrims and their leaders who were gathered tried to make sense of it too by questioning Jesus's actions and his announcement, which, by the way, they will later use it to charge him with crimes punishable by death on the cross. Destroy this temple. That's what Jesus challenges. And in 3 days, I will raise it up. While the crowd responds to these words with understandable confusion, and they say, this temple has been under construction for 46 years, and will you raise it up in 3 days? In the Gospel of John, Jesus isn't about changing the policies around who sells what, when. He is about reforming the practices that have become routine in the temple. They think he is referring to brick and mortar, but in fact, John explains, he was speaking of the temple of his body. That's what Jesus was talking about. Jesus has just done 3 things simultaneously with zeal. He opposes and upsets the religious authority. He predicts his death and resurrection, something his disciples actually only put together later after he is raised from the dead, according to John. And he announces that he is there to take down the entire structure and replace it with himself. His is the ancient anger of the prophets. It's a sacred zeal that moves against and beyond the sacrificial system of dead animals toward an intimate relationship with God that far exceeds the building or any system of exchange. At its heart, Jesus's mission is about dismantling barriers and exposing them as illusory. His mission is about reconciliation and a mutual indwelling, the kind referred to later in John's Gospel, 15:4, abide in me as I abide in you. There's an Orthodox theologian. His name is Alexander Schmemann. That's hard to say. He once warned that the quickest way to desecrate a landscape was to build a church. Since the church was supposed to be holy ground, it would instantly imply that everything outside its doors is profane. By the way, I just want you to know the etymology of the word profane is outside the temple. Seriously. Jesus discovered how deceiving appearances can be. And while the place appeared to fulfill its function, closer inspection revealed that it had forgotten its purpose. The trappings were still in place, but the place had no heart for its reason to be. It had been taken over by buyers and sellers, consumers and marketers who knew how to fill the pews and meet the capital campaign goals. The ways of the world invade the church gradually, very subtly, never intentionally, always in service of the church and her mission. Soon, before you know it, the church is full of cattle and sheep and turtle doves and money changers. Like the prophets before him, Jesus can be understood in this dramatic scene as challenging our human tendency to domesticate God in this way, as we, like so many before us, mark out our own boundaries of where the temple begins and ends. It's the same challenge which lies in Mary Oliver's poem. I think she understands that locating God in only one place is amiss, as is routine going through the motions of anything, including church, void of the zeal that smacks of actual intimacy with the holy. She writes, "I look. Morning to night, I am never done with looking. Looking, I mean not just standing around, but standing around as though with your arms open. And thinking, maybe something will come. Something in the call of the wind. Or a few leaves falling from any old tree, they are all in this too. And now I will tell you the truth. Everything in the world comes, at least closer and cordially. Like the nibbling tinsel-eyed fish, the unlooping snake, like goldfishes, little dolls of gold fluttering around the corner of the sky of God, the blue all." So, I think the question is, as we hold this story alongside Mary Oliver's poem in this season of Lent, what sort of zeal for God's house consumes you? What are you never done looking for? How do you order your life so that God will come at least closer? As we are scattered about in our homes and gathering online for worship and in small groups out at the farm tending God's creation and in our kitchen tables watching over one another in love, May we really say, "I'm mad. I'm sad. I am glad." Remembering the ways that Jesus shares our humanity and is also consumed with the divine zeal, who is the great I am. So, let the music keep our spirits high. Let the buildings keep our children dry. Let creation reveal its secrets by and by, when the light that's lost within us reaches the sky. Amen.
Amen. And thank you, Pastor Linda. I want to invite all of us to simply pause for a moment and to take a breath, to notice whatever might be stirring within our own hearts, our minds, our bodies, our souls, as we settle together into a time of prayer. And we pray in many different forms here at the table. And throughout this season of Lent, we are turning each week in which we gather for online worship to pray together a version inspired by the Lord's Prayer, the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples generations ago. And today we're going to pray a version of the Lord's Prayer, a prayer really inspired by the Lord's Prayer, by Quaker teacher and spiritual leader, theologian, educator Parker Palmer. And so I invite us into a spirit and a time of prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Heavenly Mother, holy and blessed is your true name. We pray for your reign of peace to come. We pray that your good will be done. Let heaven and earth become one. Give us this day the bread we need. Give it to those who have none. Let forgiveness flow like a river between us, from each one to each one. Lead us into holy innocence, beyond the evil of our days. Come swiftly, Mother, Father, come. For yours is the power and the glory and the mercy. Forever your name is all in one. Amen. Amen. And before we transition into a time of offering, we want to take a moment to share some beautiful news. As many of you already know, Chloe and her partner Charlie are awaiting the arrival of their first baby. Chloe is due in the coming weeks, and we are so thrilled to be part of this next step on their family's journey. And Chloe shares the gift of poetry and prayer with us most Sundays here in online worship. And she also leads our community's ministries with young people and this new ministry that's just taking shape called Table Farm. Officially, Chloe has this fabulous title, Cultivator for a Sustainable Future. And any time now, Chloe will be moving into a 3-month time of family leave, as she and Charlie welcome this new child and they begin to settle as a family into a new normal together. And so we'll have a simple shower out at Table Farm on Tuesday, March 16th. We're there from 4 until around 5 or so. You can find that information on the Table Farm's website. But again, that's Tuesday, March 16th. We'll have a simple shower to send Chloe and Charlie and the baby that they're awaiting the arrival of into this next phase together. So if you'd like to join us, we'd love to have you, even if it's just for a moment. We'll have just a physically distanced space out there with masks on outside, but we'll have a blessing for the baby that they're getting ready to welcome and for that time together. So we're excited. You can find more information about that on our email, which you can find on social media if you don't get that, or you can sign up to get it on our website. As Chloe gets ready to go on family leave, we will be welcoming Nelson Hawkins. And Nelson is going to help us out at Table Farm while Chloe is on this time of leave. He is passionate about regenerative agriculture and about sustainability. He's the farm manager out at We Grow Urban Farm in West Sacramento. Chloe and others from our administrative board have been meeting with Nelson to help bring him on board so he can help us in this transition time. His wisdom and his experience will be profoundly helpful for us as we try to navigate a bunch of details out at the farm while Chloe is on family leave. And Nelson will be joining us out there over these coming weeks. I'm really excited to introduce him, to connect him with all of you. And that segues right into our Easter offering. Our administrative board this year has decided to direct our Easter offering to support two important ministries. Half of our Easter offering this spring will go to support South Sacramento Interfaith Partnership's Food Closet. This is a food closet which was set up in South Sacramento decades ago to help individuals and families that are facing food insecurity. They serve over 9,000 people a month, and so half of our Easter offering will go to support that critical work in South Sacramento. Table Farm, much of what we grow down there goes to support that same food closet, and that'll be the recipient of the second half, the other half of our Easter offering this year. It's gonna go to support this new ministry that we're starting to help feed people. It's a fifth acre farm at the back of an elementary school in Hollywood Park. If you haven't been there, I hope you'll check it out soon. We assumed responsibility for that small urban nonprofit farm back in August. And so the other half of our Easter offering will go to support that ministry continuing to grow, pun kind of intended. Didn't actually have that in my script though. So we would encourage you to go to our website. If you feel inspired to make a gift for Easter to support the South Sacramento Interfaith Partnership's Food Closet, to support Table Farm, you can do that on our website. You can also make a gift there to support our ongoing ministries here at the table, to help us align more fully with God's love and movement in the world. On our website, thetableumc.org, you'll find a link for online giving in the upper right. A simple process, we hope, to set up either a one-time gift or to set up recurring giving. If you would prefer, it's also possible to give by text, and you do that by simply texting any amount you'd like to the number on your screen, and that will go directly to support our ministries here at the table. We are gonna go out this morning in worship to our music team's version of a song called This Is Not the End. So I am grateful for our time. I look forward to being together next week, to seeing many of you as we start to find our way. There's just a little bit more hope, it feels like, every day as more and more people are getting vaccinated, especially those who are in the most vulnerable categories. So we will continue to pray that that will continue to increase and speed up as we go. And we'll look forward to seeing you again next Sunday online here for worship with the table. And may we go in peace in this moment to love God and to love our neighbors. Amen.
the end.